Hello, everybody. This is Terry Brown, the co-host of the Winfrey Monday Night PBS call. I'm happy to be able to
this conference
be an
is being recorded.
And what you hear there is the conference line, because this is a simulcast with PBS Internet Radio and also the conference line where people can call in. So there's two accesses to the call. PBS records it and puts it up on their site in the archives, and Winfrey records it on the conference line and does a replay of it so people can also hear it that way. Yeah, now are you on the line? Hi, so are you on the line?
Yes, Terry, we are all here.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
There's Wim. Ladies and gentlemen, Winfrey.
Right.
Now, am I loud enough?
Yes, you are.
You're good.
Now, Terry, I don't remember promoting you to co-host. I thought you were associate. I thought you were just an associate. Does that mean you have to make more money?
Yes, she's a raise.
Yes.
Yes, I'm underpaid.
You're underpaid. Well, as everybody knows, I'm underwear and you're underpaid.
I'm underwear and you're underpaid. Crazy way.
You mean mine is wear, underwear.
Now, am I loud
anyway,
enough?
Anyway, guys.
Am I clear? Am I loud?
You're
loud
enough.
Enough.
You're good.
Yes. I want to drop in there. This is Monday, the 23rd of July, 2012.
Yeah. Now, you hear all those people coming into our conference line. If you're listening on the Internet, this is a... What is it? It's a... Forget the name. A simulcast. It's a simulcast between a conference line and an Internet broadcast. So... all those people who have been trying to listen to us that have big phone bills can now do it on the Internet.
Now, you know what, Wynn? That what has been brought up by some of the callers, they want to start the coffee club. Call in like an hour or two ahead of time and hang out before the show.
It's fine with me. You know, if anyone wants
right.
to call up, and they want to hang out. It's kind of, they've been doing it spontaneously, right? Getting to know each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So anyone that, on any of our calls, if you want to come in early and see who shows up and say hello to people anywhere in the country and maybe the world, please do it, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you just got to beware when you start doing stuff like this. You got to be prepared. You guys can't mute everybody. You start doing that, and then somebody will come on and say, "Hey, you guys are going to hell. What are you doing here?" So then you got to call a moderator up and say, "What are we going to do?"
It's kind of like a big teamship meeting.
Yeah, do you remember we had that happen on a Wednesday a couple of weeks ago where
mm-hmm.
somebody pushed *6 and came in, and you know, up to that point, we had been really casual. Everyone that's been coming on the calls was familiar with each other and friendly, and you know, never when I first started doing the calls, it was really scary because there were only like 6 people. And I was thinking, if we get one naysayer, it's all over. And it would break the ambience. And so I never put the call numbers out publicly. I just, people had to go through some kind of tumble sauce. I had to know they read the book or something before they would get the numbers. Any of you guys that are checking in want to say hello?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Memphis.
Hello. This is Pat from Birmingham again.
Hi, Pat from Birmingham.
South Dakota.
And Gina, South Dakota. And who else?
Lisa.
This is Memphis.
Chris
from
Memphis.
From Vegas.
And who was that in Vegas?
Gene. Yes.
So we have Gene. Hi, Gene.
Yeah, there's a lot of Genes.
We have two Genes, at least. And who else
John
is on?
In Massachusetts.
John.
Mike Diaz from Los Angeles.
And who is in Los Angeles?
Mike Diaz in Los Angeles.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey,
if I recall right, you sent me a really nice email recently, didn't you?
Yeah, yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And who else is coming on? All right, I'm muting everybody. That's it.
Hello?
Now, you know what? I've always said that there are no power trips, and now I'm on the power trip. I'm muting you all.
This is Daphne from Snellville, Georgia.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Daphne.
Hello.
You're just in time for a power trip.
Yeah, I'm just doing a power trip because I'm going to mute everybody. Okay.
I'd rather have a power bar.
A power bar. Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Before we opened up.
Oh.
Now, Daphne, can you hear me?
I can.
Terry, can you hear me?
Yes.
I think I better mute everybody. And the double mute.
All callers are muted.
Good right now.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so you be good. You make sure you're muted, because otherwise you'll leak in, right? And is that the right terminology, leak in? God. Let's see. My mind is blank, which is a good sign.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
We've turned the entry and exit chimes off, and let me tell you that we have, aside from the conference line, we have call-in lines to BBS. So if some of you are listening on BBS, and you want to call in and make a comment, I will make a opening at the beginning of the call take calls, not towards the end of the call, because there's a good chance we'll be in the middle of a conversation with these guys, and I'm not going to interrupt it for a question. And you can't ask me a question to ask them, because we have two call-ins. I wonder what...
It's Andrew.
Oh, Andrew. Okay, so since I said that, here, I'll give you guys the call-in number if anyone else wants to call. But remember, we're not going to answer don't bring up a question for a challenge, because if I start that, everyone will want to do it, and that, then we won't cover the topic tonight. So the call-in numbers are, hang on. Get your pencils out. This is the call-in numbers every week. 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471 or 530-513-6472. And do we have Andrew on the line?
Yes.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
Now, I think you sent me an email, haven't you?
Yes, I did.
Now, as I recall, it was a really nice email.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
I'm trying to remember. Well, I hope I'm not making a mistake. There's nice emails that are people that are really being reached by our work, and then there's questioning emails, which I think is fine, and I answer them. People say, and the thought comes in, particularly from people that have been studying the Bible, and the warning, and it's a valid warning from Jesus about beware of, how would you say it? People that come in my name that are not really in my name, beware of them. And I think you should beware. And I think I tell everyone, I can't say it enough, that you're not supposed to believe this because they say they're the Elohim. You're not supposed to believe this until it resonates in your heart. And this is those people that are paying attention, I think, have noticed that there is, I don't believe, ever anything to give up your power to in what we're doing. No one tells you what to do. No one tells you, if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. No one. These calls are coming together, and there's a lot of joy present that's being shared, and you don't have to spend any money to share the joy. And even when we ask them questions, even when people ask questions that would tempt the people to give up their power, I have not seen them answer questions that would cause someone to do that. Like if somebody says, should I take this job or that job? They will tell you, here's the criteria for looking at it yourself and making a decision. And they would never say, here's the job you're supposed to take. Should I live here or should I live there? Same thing. You see, one of the things in this realm is that if you don't learn discernment, if you don't learn it, and someone is telling you what's good and what's bad, you're going to have some big problems, because there's going to be times down the road where you have to figure things out and you don't have the tools to figure them out. So one of the most important lessons to learn is discernment and how to figure out what's the criteria for figuring out what is positive and what is negative. You know, I had a topic tonight, and the topic was, particularly for all those people that are listening to George Norrie, there has been a running agenda of conversations on George about secret bases, underground aliens, the cabal, secret societies, and you know what? All that stuff is real. I wouldn't not say it's not real. I've had enough experience and I've done enough research to know that it's real. So, and they're very powerful. How do you deal with it? Well, I have had lots of conversations about that. And I'm going to share a little bit about the results of my conversations. And then I'm not going to ask them to repeat stuff that has already been covered. I'll just share it with you. And then we'll see what they'd like to say about current events. So, Andrew, what did you want to ask?
Oh, I didn't have a question. I just wanted to join the
Want to say hello.
Group.
You see how bad I am? I spaced out and I forgot you were there. Well, listen, it's really nice to have you on board and paying attention. And do you think you're a wanderer?
I'm wondering if I'm a wanderer.
Most people who are paying attention to this work are wanderers. And, you know, being a wanderer doesn't mean you have your stuff all together. In fact, it could mean just the opposite, because when wanderers are in this dimension, they have a hard time of it, because they keep looking for, unconsciously, they have this very high intent of service, and they can't figure out how to do it. And they can get really caught up in a bunch of weird stuff. And I can say that I did for a good portion of my life. And so don't feel like you can't be a wanderer if your life is a mess. That might be even more of an indication. Daphne, what do you think about that? Hello, Daphne, are you on mute?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. By the way, are you a co-host as well?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Are you a co-host?
Am I a co-host?
Yeah.
I don't know, am I?
I don't know either. Terry said she was a co-host tonight, so...
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm a co-host.
I'm a co-host on retreat. A co-host on retreat, right? Okay. So, am I right about wanderers getting all screwed up in this realm? What do you think?
Well, I think that wanderer or not wanderer, most people get very confused in this realm.
Okay.
Maybe the ones that we call wanderers are the ones who have an intense desire to be of service, and so they take on more of their spiritual homework and try to go through it faster. I don't know, just a hypothesis.
Mm-hmm. Terry, you have any comments on that topic?
Yes. There was a time when I was not in this realm. I was in another realm, and it was in a higher realm than the angelic realm, which I spent some time in also. And I was working with a fellow in the higher realm that was making templates for bodies and making the ultimate... I said that I wanted to leave and to check out some of the other realms, and he warned me severely about doing that. He said, if you do, I'll never be able to talk with you anymore, because you'll pick up patterns, you'll totally forget who I am and where I am, you'll just be lost if you leave. So I did leave and came to the angel realm, and I still didn't get all my questions answered, so I came to the earth realm, to the third density realm, because it was also on other planets. I had my own planet for a short time. And so I got into the problem that he had warned me about, and I forgot who I was, and I picked up patterns that weren't even my own. I got programmed, and then it was really hard to get out of it. And so this lifetime, I remembered him, and I went back to see him, and his time was going so much faster than mine. I was like in slow motion to him. And so I just sat and looked at him, and he just, you know, said, get out of here. I had asked him to fix my hip because I had broken it, and it was bothering me a lot, and he fixed it so that it didn't ache anymore. But then he said, get out of here or I'll break your hip again. And so I went, and so I went back, came back to this realm, and after a few months, he came to visit me in this realm, like, what's going on? He was really curious. So that's a little bit of some of the higher view from at least that fellow of what could happen in this realm and what happened to me. Takes a little bit of centering to not pick up patterns just from being around in this realm.
Terry, I'm curious. How long do you think you've been in this realm once you came in?
In the third density, I've been here about perhaps 76 million years. I've been in this density about that long.
76 million, huh? So
that's right.
You see how crazy this is? There's all these multiple timelines. And while 76 million years passed for Terry, there's all these beings in other realms. And you get up to the Elohim realm, and it was like, I imagine, I'm only imagining this, because first of all, I don't know if she's been here for 76 million years, and she hasn't convinced me. I don't know how to prove that. But let's just go along and say, perhaps that's true. And you go to the Elohim realm, where they say there's no time. So 76 million years is like a snap of the fingers, like boom, you know? Now they say they can move into time and out of time. And now what we're doing on these calls and this work we're doing is we're creating, all of us together, a relationship between no time and linear time. And some of you have noticed how fast the time goes on these calls. And, you know, originally when I started doing this, I said, geez, I'm going to overexpose myself. People are going to get tired of me. How can I be on three calls a week? Plus I do a, you know, like the thing we did, 2-3 hours of answering questions last Saturday. And people still didn't want to get off the call because time moves so fast on these calls. And so many of you are feeling the energy. It didn't happen the first time, maybe. Maybe it started to happen. But so many of you are feeling the energies around you on these calls. And when we look at the universe, at least the way that I've come to understand it, is we have stack upon stack of timelines, and each timeline has its own little beings in it, both positive and negative. Some of the timelines are really advanced, where there's a lot of high technology. Some of the timelines have beings that can move through dimensions. Some of the timelines have black magician beings that can move through dimensions. And if we're really doing what it looks like we might be doing, we're creating a zone above all the timelines. We're creating a zone at no time and integrating it in this slow motion time of what we call 3D. And because we're doing this, or if we're doing this, it creates this potential to have a lot of things happen in this realm that wouldn't have happened otherwise, like miracles. Because everything in this realm, everything, as far as I can tell, is downloaded from other realms that are at higher timelines than this one. And that includes a lot of the negative that's in this realm. That includes the occult, the black magic, the ceremonies, the control patterns, the all the things that scare the hell out of you if you think, what if this happens this way? And
when it's Daphne, just a question. Was it the raw material that said that the negative can only exist up until the lower sixth dimension?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
And they also said, now we're not doing a whole explanation of dimensions, so that might be confusing. But the raw material also said that the negative gets its power from the fear that we have in this. This was a quote from the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Now, here we go. Let me read this to you all. This is from, now again, every time I read a channeling, you have to think, could this be negative? Could this be a negative source masquerading? And then you have to, that's why you can't take one thing and say it's true. I'm reading it because I think it's true, but I could be wrong. This is where you have to develop your discernment. But I can tell you why I think it's true, why some of this stuff, which is so out there, could be true, because we are not here just at the effect of channelings and following what they say. I've done so much cross-referencing everywhere, every which way, because, quite frankly, I didn't want to make a mistake putting this out to the public. I'm not doing this for attention. Even Daphne, she spent 10 years saying, what if you're making a mistake? What if you're making a mistake? And even Daphne, after all her scrutiny of this, has come to the conclusion that it's really, really important. And I would say that's probably been a growing attitude over the last 6 months to a year, slowly but surely. But let me read here something in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And now, Wilcock says at that time, now keep in mind, he doesn't talk about this now. He talks about management, and he talks about ETs. I believe when he talks about management and ETs, he's talking about the Ra group. He's not talking about spaceships. Because there's been no indication in our work that spaceships are going to land and save us, okay? If it's true, it will be news to me. And if people are saying that, you have to look very carefully, because there are, when it comes to channelings, you can't tell what's positive and negative. And the negative can channel just as well as the positive. And that's why your discernment has to be razor sharp when it comes to evaluating anything that's channeled, because the negative will look like the positive. I mean, down the road, somebody could come and say, we're talking to the Elohim, and the Elohim said this, or Jesus was talking to me, and Jesus said that, and never assume that who the voice that's talking is who they say they are. Why should they be? If you're negative, you can lie, you can say whatever you want, you can trick people. That's one of the ways the negative has gotten huge edges on this planet, because they do talk to people all the time. And, at the top of all these secret whatevers, you'll find, in most cases, now, I can't prove this, but there's enough on the Internet that you can go look at it yourself. In most cases, there's a negative source that's coming through. Now, there's things about the positive that the negative can't do. You know, we call the sources group souls, and they're conglomerates of group souls. There's the Ra group, and there's the Elohim group, and they're both different. The Elohim group is at a higher timeline than the Ra group, and the Ra group can work more closely with things, and the Elohim group can work in a different manner. And if you keep studying our work, you'll see the difference between the two of them. But both groups are at the place of pure energy. Now, how do we know there's a group soul? Well, when we do these calls, people all over the planet are feeling the energy. Now, if it was one individual soul, how could that happen? How could people feel that energy everywhere? It would be just a communication. It might reach your emotions. But now, a skeptic let's suppose I was looking at what I just said and I was a skeptic. They would say, Wynn is hypnotizing everybody. This is a case of mass hypnosis. Well, if I am, I don't know I'm doing it. I'll tell you, I'm just showing up and talking. And there's absolutely no control pattern that I'm putting out other than sharing everything that I've experienced as honestly as possible. And now there's, you know, Terry and Daphne both on the line, both being vehicles for this. And am I hypnotizing them? Now, again, the skeptic is going to say, what's this power of this guy? He's hypnotizing everybody. Well, I don't think that's true. And I don't even think it's true on an unconscious level. There is nothing I want from anybody except to share a loving energy. And what I get from our sources is there's nothing they want except to share a loving energy. And what's amazing is you guys are responding, and we seem to be succeeding. And what happens is, if we're really bringing in an energy above the negative, and a timeline that's above the negative, then that energy bypasses the control patterns. Have you noticed since you've been coming on the calls that there's less fear? You're having less fear? Some of you. I know some of you are still in the midst of working out lower karmic patterns, and that's okay. Just be patient. I wanted to read here a little paragraph that came through Wilcock. It's in The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And, you know, when I was first reading Wilcock's channelings, believe me, I was saying, can this be true? Can this be true? Am I making a mistake? And I'll read this to you. This was from May 29, 2002. Our staff is standing by to assist you, and our presence will not forever remain in the shadows. When the time is appropriate and the help is then truly needed, the free will cause will allow us to make our requested appearance, and we will see that events occur in peace. We are completely ready to fulfill this obligation at a moment's notice due to the uncertainties that you are now faced with. Remember that. The true knowledge to one of your minds regarding how much we are capable of doing to avert world catastrophe would seem utterly overwhelming, since the neurological capacity of the third density mind is but a droplet in the ocean of consciousness that we are working with. Each mind, anywhere in the world, either incarnate or discarnate, and at all levels of density, can be studied and analyzed with regards to the collective mind. And as we advance forward in time, along various timelines, the consequences of any of these subtle actions can be seen, much like a fractal function or a quantum hologram. Hence, by our vast team efforts, we are capable of analyzing your grand chessboard and figuring out what pieces go where, at what time, and seeing how the different entities involved all contribute to the final outcome. In this way, then, if an event is not in the interest of all involved, the law of free will allows us to intervene in the lives of entities, often at crucial but unexpected points in the chain of causation, in order to offset such an event. These interventions can follow a gradient from the remarkably subtle to the relentlessly blatant at times, depending upon the degree of balancing that is required and how the individual free will weighs against collective free will. And here's the key sentence. The more that humanity as a whole strives for wisdom and understanding of the truth of love, the more interventions we are authorized to perform. That is from the rock group. Now, in our crazy science fiction presentation to this planet, we started out talking to the Elohim group. And, you know, the Elohim group is not quite as warrior-like as the Ra group. The Elohim group is more feminine, more angelic. I mean, it's hard to find words to describe it, but this is how, if you keep paying attention, you'll see how it comes across. The Ra group had lifetimes down here. They understand more about how this realm works from personal experience than the Elohim group does. The Elohim group understands it vicariously from looking at it and watching it. And maybe they can move into somebody's face, which they can, and they can feel that person, and they can feel the pain. But they're not stuck here. It's different being stuck here than taking a moment and feeling somebody's pain. The Ra group was stuck here. They went through thousands and thousands of lifetimes stuck, and until they graduated this realm. And they said when they were going through physical bodies, there was another group. We're talking about millions of years ago, okay? Then there was another group that was a group of graduates that was helping them. And now they're the group of graduates helping us. And, you know, I'm writing this book, and I'm taking all this in, and I'm studying the Rucker channelings, and I'm saying, can this be real? And then I meet Daphne 2 years into writing the book, and suddenly this voice comes through that says it's the Elohim group, and I start asking them about everything that the Ra group was saying. And they're agreeing. They're saying, yes, that's exactly right. And I was asking Daphne questions that she didn't know the answers to. And yet, they were confirming everything that was coming through the book I was writing. And that was one of the first things that said, oh my God, this is really important. That's what put me in a path that was willing to, you know, do anything to get this out there. And, you know, we talk about crop circles. We had a session on a Monday, probably about 3 months ago, where we started talking about crop circles. And at that point, the Ra group said they were making crop circles, and they went through a little explanation of how they did it. And what are on crop circles? David Wilcock goes through an analysis where he shows how they are symbols of evolving DNA, and they're trying to show us how the DNA has to evolve into the fourth strand of DNA, which is the heart chakra air DNA, in order for a human to graduate this realm. Now, they don't say that. They just do it symbolically. David has put it all together. The thing is, he doesn't say it's the Ra group, and that's his choice. I think he knows that. When the book we wrote, we talked about that, and we put it in the book, but he says it's ETs. Now, of course, the Ra group and the Elohim group do come under the general category of ETs because they're not terrestrial. But when we normally think of ETs, we think of guys in spaceships. They are not in spaceships. They are pure energy that can flow through the realms and arrive here as energy. And they can move through all the things that are the precursors to the physical world we live in. And they can shift them. They can change things. They can block things. And the more that, I'm going to read this sentence again, the more that humanity as a whole strives for wisdom and understanding of the truth of love, the more interventions we are authorized to perform. So what are we doing on these calls? You know, if you've been paying attention to our source, originally the source identified itself as the Elohim group. The Elohim group was saying that they created the physical universe. We've had so many calls. If you ever listen to the workshop, I have a half-hour audio on there of this amazing call where they said how they created the physical universe through Terry, using scientific terms, talking about frequencies. And at the end of it, there was just this blessing, loving energy that came through. And I'll tell you, I listened to it, and I said, every time I listen to it, it bends my mind. I can't quite understand everything. But by the time they're finished and when that energy started, I could feel it. This is one of the things that many of you are experiencing, feeling this energy. And what we're doing is really rare because we are the ones that have to recreate the energy inputs into this realm so that they have the permission to do more. How do we do that? Well, if you're one of those people whose life is being changed, expanded, you have the motivation to send people to our homepage of our website. Let them start the process. Let them look at the video. Let them download the book. Because what we're doing is putting out material that, yes, it seems crazy at first. It seemed crazy to me. But the more you go into it, there's no glitches. I haven't found any glitches. Of all the people that are paying attention, you know, if someone wanted to prove to me that what we're doing was negative, nobody has done it. And you can't quote Jesus. You have to use your own discernment. I mean, if you want to quote Jesus, Jesus said, many people will come in my name, but they won't really be operating on the behalf of the Christ consciousness. They'll use my name to control other people. And then he said, of course, that thing about many people will come and deceive you. And then he said, these things I do, you too can do, and much more. Now, if you're going to follow the Bible, you have to decide for yourself what something is. Because you can't trust it because somebody uses Jesus' name. And you can't trust it because someone claims it to be something. And you can't trust it because someone says, this is Jesus and I have a message for you. Or this is the Elohim, I have a message for you. You have to use your own discernment. And, you know, when people, I've noticed something, there's a lot of people that have emailed me and they're saying, ask them to heal this. Ask them to heal that. You know, I have observed this recently because so many of those requests have come in. And I have to tell people, you have to learn, if you're tapping into the energy, and sometimes people said, I was on the call Sunday. Somebody sent me an email, and in the middle of the call, I think it was called tinnitus, the thing that rings in your ear, he said he couldn't believe it. It went away. And somebody else had some kind of leg pain, and it went away. And not everybody tells me what happens. But they don't want to take credit. They don't want to be there and say, come everybody, we're going to heal you. They have said very clearly that what changes things is people reaching back, not miracles. Miracles causes people to give up their power. And so if you want a miracle, start out by reaching back. Start out by studying us. Make sure it's comfortable to you. Start out by listening to particularly our Sunday call and see if you feel the energies on the line, which so many people feel. So the energies are on the line right now, but I'm not focusing on it. This call is to get information across, but some of you can feel the energies on the line right now. When you start feeling the energies, then you have to ask yourself, is that energy intelligent? Is it intelligent? And then you have to observe it carefully. Then you have to say something in your mind and say, can you guys work with this? And then something has to shift. And it's like in your own laboratory. And it's not like magic. It's going to be, geez, they really were paying attention. That energy is intelligent. They can hear me. They responded to something. But don't look for them to talk to you, because if you do, it's so likely that you'll get a negative source and won't know the difference. If they're going to talk to you, let them initiate it, because the prevalence of negative sources talking to people is so overwhelming, and it is so tricky. We had a situation a few years ago where some woman was coming into my calls, and she said she was getting messages from them. And I said, well, that's great. I mean, it's not up to me to validate or invalidate other people unless they ask me, particularly for their own experience. I'm not going to invalidate other people who are other channels or famous people. But if somebody asks me, I'll ask my sources. Now, of course, you see, if I had negative sources, they could invalidate it, and then the person still has to validate it for themselves, ultimately. But with that being said, we only have about 7 minutes, and I want to do a quick comment from our sources. And the topic tonight is, what about the negative? Now, Daphne, are you on? Hello, Daphne? Are you muted? Okay. Well,
I see she just dropped out, Vin.
She just dropped out? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she wasn't muted, so she will be right back probably.
Well, you know what? She doesn't have a battery charger where she is, so her battery might have gone low. I'm always careful about addressing that kind of topic with Daphne. Maybe she dropped out because she doesn't want to go into it, because she had been so negatively attacked. One of the things that I learned is, like, observing the way she was negatively attacked and why. And I did come up with a lot of answers, and eventually she's kind of gone along with my answers. So, Terry, are you there?
Yes.
I know you're not ready, but I'm going to start anyway, okay?
Great.
And we don't have a lot of time. This is going to be like a 5-minute session. And
okay.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person on this line, each person that listens to the replays or reads a transcript, and that any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through all the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And we only have about 4 minutes, and so I'm just going to let you address the topic relating to what I was talking about, and add anything that you feel. A, that if I said something that was mistaken, or B, anything that would add to the understanding of how this planet can evolve above all the restraints of what we're calling the negative. And I turn it over to our sources as they speak to us through Terry Brown. Thank you.
Thank you. While we comment briefly, this is Ra'an. The 23rd of July, 2012, and we send greetings and love to each person within the range of this call, whether it be on a transcript later or whatever time it is, or on a replay or on the BBS radio network playback, or within the sound of the voice here in the present time on the 23rd of July. And we make a comment first of all, concerning time, where we reside in the 10th dimension, we are in an area where there is time. However, it is very much at a different speed than the time within the Earth plane. We have had to slow ourselves down to coordinate with your dimension. Second of all, we address the concept of negativity as when one is in the third density, one is in an area of black and white, of on and off, of yes and no, an area of life or death, an area of money or no money, an area of love or not. There is a negative for each thing, and one of the tricks for being in the third density is to learn to be within your own center and to be your own master of your own life rather than to be taken over by the one side or the other side, but be able to walk in the middle and thus handle whatever comes your way. As when you are in the third density, things can befall one, and it is not always within one's control, although there is that about creating your own reality. You choose a consensus reality where you reside, which brings other actions within your own sphere. So there are people, there are higher spirits that work towards bringing negative for their own purposes, service to self, to others, to take advantage of their energy, to siphon off their energy, to simply exercise mindless control for their own satisfaction. It is part of the growth that those individuals go through, and the realm, the third density realm and the fourth density realm, has the wherewithal to show them the consequences, however long they need to learn the consequences of that. And as such, they are not able to move into the very high densities as they limit their growth by their inability to give and to take. Those are preliminary comments on the subject.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being here. Thank all of you for being part of this. I call it an experiment, you know, and that you're part of it. This is a group consciousness exercise. Yes, there's a lot of information, but there's energy and transformation in a group consciousness here that you who are paying attention, supporting this work, thinking about it, listening to our audios, learning how to hold yourself above the spaces of the negativity, learning how to be centered in yourself, learning that you actually do have a purpose in being here, you're all really important. And we're going to be on Wednesday night doing our questions that people submit call. And don't submit a question. I'm picking up the questions right during the call because I don't have time to go through them all beforehand. Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, BBS. And I'm going to stop. Thank you, Heise, for moderating and helping us and everyone who's volunteering. And we'll see you next time.
Stop conference recording. Press 1. Your conference recording has stopped. All callers are unmuted.